It's nearly time to hear the British touring car engines whine. But before that, Sam's whining. It's the Donington preview.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back for the 2025 season and we are getting underway. We hope that you've enjoyed the video so far this week that we've released.
Busy, busy.
Yeah, plenty. If you haven't already, go and subscribe. Like all the posts, comment on everything. We love to hear your thoughts and opinions, especially going into this brand new season. Russ, how are you?
I'm very well. It's probably important to mention that some of you will probably be finding us for the first time with a preview video. This week we've done a video on the Jack Sears, drivers to watch, and a little retrospect on Paul O'Neill. So if there's not anything in that
tomorrow,
this will be out. When's this coming out?
Thursday.
Oh, that's going out Friday, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. The scheduling is really good. But as you can see, if you can't find something out of those three videos to tickle your fancy, then maybe touring cars isn't for you. To answer your previous question, yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Yes, not too bad. I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Me too. Birthday weekend.
Yes,
touring cars is back. I am
another year older.
Yes, but not necessarily wiser.
We'll find out by the end of the season because we're going to keep you up to date with our predictions going forward.
What a link. So we've never been away.
Keep you up to date with our predictions going forward. And we'd love to hear your predictions as well. So put them in the comments below or on the social media posts that are going to be coming out to announce this video.
Without any further ado, this weekend, it is Donington Park. It's the shortest version of it. So the hairpin version comes later in the year. Eight corners. 1.98 miles, and near one of the longer circuits we go to on the touring car grid. It's quite interesting, actually, that we've got a real mix of short and long tracks. This is one of the more longer circuits. Debuted in 1977, so at the height of the punk movement. Read into that what you will. Do you know who has the qualifying lap record here?
Now, if you don't know already, and you haven't been watching this for the last good couple of years now.
I do my research, and Sam
does his research, and then I guess, basically, just for a bit of fun, no? It changed. Well, it possibly changes each year. Sometimes it stays the same. I'm going to guess it changed, and it was actually last year's record.
No,
and
straight away you're wrong. So that's a good start to the 2025 season.
I'm going to go for Ash Sutton because he's mighty quick here.
Yep, and that was set in 2023 for 1:07.5. Would you like to guess? If you get this, I'll be very impressed. The race record.
Someone a bit rogue then.
That very much so, to borrow a phrase.
Is it going to be someone like? Cook?
No.
Okay.
I mean, someone like him to a degree. I mean, he is also a racing car driver. It's actually Ronan Pearson.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. It surprised me. Who set that in 2024 for 1:09? I've got that. That can't be right. That must be my writing because it can't have been slow. It would have been slow in the quality. Yes. Of course it would have been. Great start to the season, Russell. A 1.91, which he set in 2024.
Lovely.
There you go. Looking back to 2024 then and how the drivers went around here, it was quite a dull in some ways opening round to the season.
You say dull? Well, in all of the championship contenders were there or thereabouts.
Yes.
Very much hogging the podium places, weren't they?
Yeah, so race one was Ingram, who had qualified on pole for that season, Sutton and Hill.
Yep.
Race two, with the fantastic new regulations that were going to change everything last year, the hybrid was going to be messing things up left, right, centre.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, it was Ingram, Sutton and Hill. And then race three was Moffat, Turkington and Sutton. So race three, still the variety of life, which is good.
Yeah, and if you haven't watched touring cars before, race three, we're going to have a reverse grid. Numbers 6 to 12 get put into a hat, and then they have the chance to be on pole for race three pole position.
They are drawn at random, although some weekends might be more random than others.
Yes, that's all we're going to say, for legal reasons.
In terms of last year's champions, or championship protagonists, we had Ingram, Hill and Sutton, who obviously went very well here.
Yep.
How many wins does Ingram have around here? Based on bits that my maths is never perfect, so this comes with a bucket of salt.
I think it's quite a popular circuit for Ingram. I think it even might be one of his most successful. I'm going to go 7.
Correct. Very well done indeed. I was quite surprised by this, because you then compare it to Sutton and Hill. So Sutton, would you like to take a guess on him?
2?
3, so not far off. Hill?
None.
He's had one here. Would you like to know who I believe to be the most successful in the grid at the moment? I've not done everybody's because when I have got this guy,
Shedden,
it is indeed.
And I think it's with 11.
Correct.
And I haven't done any research.
There you go. But you have seen my booklet that is open on the floor down there. But yeah, so Shedden absolutely loves this place. And of course, he is back on the grid for this season. Yeah. Three-time touring car champion back this year with Toyota.
If you haven't already, go and see our season preview and we'll take you through the whole grid of drivers, who's racing for which team, and what you think their, or what we think their championship aspirations are going to be for this season.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really difficult pot to do because we haven't because we haven't seen any wheels turn in anger yet. We've only seen testing, which, as we always say, we say it all the time, you have to take with not only a bucket of salt, probably
wheelbarrow,
the things that grit the road in icy weathers, because we don't know what was happening. Even the drivers said to us on media day that they think that some teams are sandbagging, some teams possibly not. So we don't really know what's going to happen. What we do know from testing with that massive salting, McSalt face thingy on the road, whatever, yeah, the gritting thingies, is that the Hyundais look quick.
Yes.
The Ford looks quick with Sutton.
Yes.
The BMWs didn't look so fast, and Cook was there or thereabouts. That's basically all we know from testing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think one driver that was certainly trying to put his name up there and out there during testing was Max Hall as well, really impressing in the Cupra. 17-year-old coming into the championship, fresh out of the minis. He'll be an interesting watch, but I certainly don't think he's going to hit the heights of what we've seen of him in testing. I think it might be a little more reserved and a little more focused weekend for him, rather than going out and grabbing some headlines.
Which explains where you've played it safe on the Jack Sears prediction after that glowing review, but not putting him into the Jack Sears winner for this weekend. Yeah, as I say, it in my view, I think it's going to be a case of the three title protagonists from last year, plus Cook, maybe plus Shedden, will be the ones to watch this weekend. It really is difficult to say. We don't know anything.
And I think by the end of this weekend, we'll probably see the runners and riders who we're going to sort of like think are going to be in those contending positions towards the end of the season. We may see a couple of shock results, but I think that might have to be weather-induced throughout the season. Yeah, the first race of the season is always the complete blank slate. Everyone is on a par, and you probably see who's got the car best set up, who's got the quickest car overall, who might be the fastest driver for the season. But as you say, Ingram took the win last year and didn't take the championship.
Yeah, so it's probably worth just quickly running through how the day works. So there are two free practice sessions in the morning of Saturday, followed by qualifying. Would you like to just quickly briefly explain how qualifying works?
So on qualifying from last season, we had a brand new format which had been trialled previously. So there will be four sessions, each of 10 minutes. The first two sessions are formed from the free practice to finishing order. So the odds and the evens get split up into two 10-minute sessions. And we then have the top, what is it for this year? Because there's more cars. The bottom eight, I believe, drop out. And then we get into another 10-minute session with the rest of the cars that are left. Then the next group drop out to leave us a top 10 shootout. Top six shootout, sorry. There's three different sessions to get through. You really have to be on it with setting your times. It's not like before where we had half an hour and you could just run almost as many laps as you want. You've got to stay out of traffic. You've got to stay on the circuit and you've got to get a good sector or sectors together.
Yeah, basically, for those who are new to the sport, touring cars used to operate on basically having an hour or so to do as many quali laps as you could, which was incredibly dull because it just basically meant teams pounded around sometimes up to 30 laps, depending how short a circuit it was.
And bolt a couple of sets of new tyres on in that time.
Yeah, whereas now this has moved a little bit more to the F1 style of Q1, Q2 and Q3. And it just adds that little bit of extra jeopardy. And qualifying gets underway on the Saturday at 10 past 3, which is available, it used to be on the YouTube channel. I assume it still is for this season.
Yeah, on YouTube and I believe on TikTok as well. One thing I must say is Saturday is looking damp.
It is indeed,
which
yes.
is always going to make it interesting. Bringing out wet weather tyres, they only have the slicks or the wets. So if it rains too much, then I think they will be out on the wet weather tyres. We're going to see possibly the fastest time coming at the end of each of the sessions if it starts to dry up. or we could see it right at the start of the session if it then gets wetter. So it's always a really interesting dynamic when we've got a change of weather.
Yeah, and also worth pointing out as well for anybody that's new is that you can't mix and match the tyres. You have to run four slicks or four wets. And changing a tyre in the touring cars is
it's a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's a fairly labour-intensive process. You're not going to be seeing any two-second stops here. Then on Sunday, we have three touring car races. So grab your pen and paper or your mental notes if you can remember them.
Or check our social media because we'll have all the times up on there.
The links you're doing today.
I'm lovely, yeah.
You are just unbelievable. We've got the first race at 10 to 12. We've then got the second race at 25 to 3. And the final race at 25 past 5. It's always worth remembering that those times are subject to change depending on what happens in all the support races. Yeah. So as usual, we've got an absolutely packed rostrum of support races to keep you busy and occupied throughout the day if you're going or watching on television.
Racing on Sunday, I believe, starts at 10 past 9. So
correct.
Make sure you get there nice and early. I believe the Porsches are on first.
Yeah, you've got the Porsche Carrera Cup. Then we've got the F4 British Championship. That's always worth looking at if you are interested in motorsport generally. There's a lot of drivers in the F1 and F2 paddocks at the moment. They've come through that. I believe Jack Doohan was in that series at one point.
Lando's been it. Piastri's been in it.
Abby Pulling in the F1 Academy side of things.
The big name drivers normally graduate to the top and then move on. So if you're looking for that new talent or that new driver to support throughout their racing career, especially in single seaters, that's the grid to look for.
Zach O'Sullivan's another one that is he in F3? Is he now gone to F2?
He's
F2 now. Yeah, so you might be seeing tomorrow's stars in that championship. We've also got the Mini Challenge, which operates as a little bit of a feeder series to the touring cars, not so much now as it used to, but there's normally some good names to watch out for in there. And we've also got the Porsche Sprint Challenge Great Britain this weekend, which means you'll be able to see drivers such as Dan Zelos and Lydia Walmsley, who have been around the touring car paddock for a while. There is no Legends this weekend, which I think is a crying shame. There should be at every single event, but that's the way it goes. Of course, there is no Toker Juniors this year either because that championship has been shelved until next season.
Which
at the earliest.
Is a little ominous because that was the news that was announced before last season start. It does look like they've now got a car together and that they're moving in the right direction. I think it was a short timeline in the first place to try and get it ready. Just one season after, now two seasons after. And I think money is a big factor as to why we haven't seen a huge uptake in it this year.
Back to the touring cars on the track then. Sam, give me three drivers that you think either go well here, won't go so well here to keep an eye on, and I'll give you three afterwards, and hopefully we can then get to predictions, weather, and cheerios.
As we've already mentioned, Sheddon is probably going to be one to watch out for just because of how successful he's been at this circuit. Yes, he's had some years out of the touring cars, obviously last race with Team Dynamics in 2021, and comes back as a three-time champion, but could be a little bit rusty into that Toyota team who have changed all four drivers for this season as well. It'll be interesting to see how he settles in. There weren't any big bright times in testing that said, yes, he's going to be right there, but there weren't any poor showings from him either to say that he was going to have difficulties. But I think he's going to be one to watch this weekend, definitely. Of the young drivers, I certainly think you've got to keep an eye on Max Hull, especially because of how young he is and the times he's been producing. Plus, you can't miss his livery on the Cupra this year. It is one to watch out for.
It is. It's been voted on the BTCC House of Memes as the best livery of the season.
Not a surprise, really, is it?
I disagree with the general public, but then when most elections come around, whether that be Britain's Got Talent or other matters, then I tend to disagree with where the public vote goes. I mean, Eurovision is an absolute farce, but it's a good livery. It is a good livery.
And I don't know whether I might be stealing one here from you, but BMW as a group of all four drivers.
Pick three, goes for four. Brilliant. Stunning work.
Of all four drivers, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they perform in this weekend going forward. They certainly didn't set time in screens alight. I think Hill was the highest in 16th overall at the Donington Test for Media Day. The cars look a little bit sluggish, and there are three new drivers going into that team.
I can't wait for Jake Hill-Pole.
I know. One of which is a rookie coming up from the Porsches in Rainford, and then obviously we've got the experience of Moffitt, but not having driven rear-wheel drive in a little while, and De Leon making a big step up to that team. But Jake Hill, reigning champion, who knows what he can pull out of the bag.
Is there anybody on the grid left? I need to have a look at the right. Okay, I'm going to go Josh Cook. Look, I'm really quite excited about Cook this season because there's an element of always the bridesmaid, never the bride, to a degree.
Yeah.
Without really ever being in the championship hunt when it gets to the final round of the season. He's one of those drivers that has been there three or four times mathematically going into the last round. But
it's
that,
always like 40 to 60 points
that,
off.
That mathematically being needs to win all three races and hope that nobody else turns up or take or ends up at Donington Park rather than Brands Hatch by mistake. You know, that you know,
it's probably happened before.
It's that level of turnaround he needs. However, this season, back in a car he clearly loves, a car where he's had his best results. I don't think there's any doubt about that. In a team he feels comfortable with, I just feel that One Motorsport have taken obviously a year off. In that time, he said that people were still working, and he's been able to take people back to One Motorsport that he's worked with in the past. So he's not got a brand new set of people to work with, etc. He's got old faces who know the car, who know him, knows what he likes, what he doesn't like.
It's like a comfortable armchair to sit back into, isn't it?
For him? And I think it's a chance that on the one hand, look, having missed a year, part of him will be thinking, we've just got to get our heads down and get out. But equally, the regs have changed from that year they've missed. We've not got hybrid anymore, so everyone's on the clean slate going back to get rid of the hybrid and going to the boost, etc. Maybe Josh Cook, if he can hit the ground running in that car, I say a car he feels comfortable with, a teammate who he will feel comfortable with. I don't think he'll see Jelly as a threat to him either, personally. And you could argue potentially in some teams he's been in, he has seen other drivers as a threat, which may put other pressure on. You don't know. It was you know, you got over Toyota last year. He was the satellite Toyota, not the main team Toyota. Does that get in your head? I don't know.
Yeah.
You're up against somebody like Rob Huff, who's obviously very, very good as well. And of course, at testing, pouring the salt on top of this, he was very, very quick and set a new lap record. I don't care whether other teams were running fast or not, he still set a lap record at the circuit on me today, beating Ash Sutton, who had gone fastest previously. So I think he is definitely one to watch. Ronan Pearson is my second pick. I think we said it in the season preview. If we didn't, I'm going to say it here. It's a bit of a make or break for Pearson. We've seen the best of him in this series, and we've seen the worst of him in this series. He's now at a team where hopefully he'll get what he needs in terms of support and the car to really push on. He's got to be making waves in that Jack Sears Trophy this weekend, and I think he'll be looking for a really strong start, possibly even a podium or race win, depending on how the day pans out. And finally, I'm going to go. What am I going to go for? No. There's a racer in there, but not today. Do you know what? I'm going to go for Chris Smiley. As one to really watch. Restart are really interesting. So obviously they are now a customer of the Hyundai Virtue Motors green liveried one-eyed monster thingy, horrible thing that is their Team Virtue and Tom Ingram's team. Smiley had a solid, if not spectacular, season last year in the Cupra. But in fairness to him, it was his first time back after being in TCR. He's a TCR champion. And of course, it was Restart Racing's first year in the sport last year as well. They've made a massive step already to go from Cupras starting out, right, we're now going to become a customer of one of the fastest cars, in my opinion, the fastest car on the grid.
It's a big call to make, but I can see why they've made that call.
100%.
And I think as a team, they have the right intentions with trying to move forward and move up the grid. And taking on a car like that, which you know is of championship-winning quality, can only be a good thing, I think.
And Smiley has driven that car in as some guys before when he was As has Lloyd, exactly. So I think, again, I'm not going to suggest that Chris Smiley is going to bang this on pole and then take two wins and a third and walk home and into
double
sunset.
Double DNF incoming. Sorry, Chris.
As leading the championship. But it's all relative. For Chris, a good weekend for him would be three solid top tens and knocking on the door of the top six and maybe even higher with that reverse grid, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, those are my three. Again, I've tried to avoid Sutton, Ingram, and Hill because it's obvious they are going to be the three to watch throughout the season without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, if you haven't already, we have put out a podcast of about 10 minutes long of drivers that we think are to watch out for the whole season, not just this weekend. But yeah.
Cool. Shall we do some predictions then? Then we can do the weather and then we can...
One caveat before we get on to that. I really struggled with predictions this week just because it's
so
the
hard.
Start of
the
new season
yeah.
And you can't really pick much up from testing. So I think we've both played it a little safe.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Again, it's so hard to know because until we see the FP1 and FP2 times on Saturday, we're not going to really... And again, they're not completely indicative, but we're not going to get a real sense of this until probably midway through race two on Sunday. So For those who are new to the podcast this year, welcome. Great to have you along for the ride. But we do a competitive predictions thing each year. In fact, there is a trophy on the line as well. There are two trophies on the line. We've got predictions every week that we do. And if you watch the season preview, we seal predictions at the start of the year when we open them at the end of the year.
Plenty of gaffer tape was used this
indeed.
Year.
Indeed. Last year, I won the overall predictions. Yes, so this is the sealed envelope predictions, taking the trophy from Sam, who in turn took the trophy from me from the weekly or the race weekly general predictions. So we do predictions for pole, the winners. They can be at any point throughout the day. The overall Jack Sears winner, three general predictions, and a final prediction specific to the racetrack. I'm going to touch on that again at the end of this because we're going to need your help moving forward with that. So, Sam, I've spoken a lot there. Let's stop listening to me. Who have you gone for pole?
Just because of that time that he set in testing, I've gone for Sutton for pole position. Obviously, okay. Having broken the qualifying lap record already, I know Cook did it as well, but I think Sutton's probably still got a little bit more in the bag.
Cool. I have gone for Ingram. This is his playground. The Hyundai is quick here. He is quick here. He took pole last season. He's taking more wins than the other two that I think would be the main championship contenders. It's safe, but I think it's going to be. And also this weekend, everything is fair in love and war. Yes. There are no restrictions on placing restrictions on the car, etc. So I think Tom Ingram.
It's part of the reason that I've gone for him for a race win as well, which I can see you have as well. So we kind of cancel each other out on there, but it's extra points at the end of the season if we both get it right.
We also cancel each other out a little bit on another driver, because we've both gone for Josh Cook.
Yes, certainly. And I also think Sutton, even, might snatch a win this weekend as well. I don't know whether he'll have it in race one or race two, or whether he might benefit from a reverse grid. But yeah, he's my other driver.
Yep. And I've gone for Shevin as my other driver. As I say, 11 times he's won rounds here.
He popped into my head as well. Yeah,
Toyota won a race here, two races here last year in different guises of the circuit. It looked strong throughout here. I think Moffat took one win last year and Huff the other.
Yep.
And from memory, serve me right, Cook was also very strong on both weekends here too. So I'm going to go, I think that Toyota's going to be strong around here. Shevin's, it couldn't be nicer for Shevin in some ways. He's coming back to a track that he obviously knows and loves. So. Yep. You know, absolutely. Then we do three general predictions. So I'll kick this one off.
First of all, we've got Jack Sears prediction.
Oh, my apologies. Well, yeah, absolutely.
For the weekend, which we have both gone for the same on this. Now, just to clarify, we do make these predictions separately and then come together for the recording. But we have both gone for Ronan Pearson this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a safe choice, I think.
If it gets to later in the season and we are still picking the same thing, then I'm going to introduce that you can change your one for an extra point if you're right.
But extra points. I like the sound.
But not for this weekend because at this point, what I don't want to happen is if we get to F1 where the same driver is winning every week, Napa 2020, whatever it was, then we have introduced different things to keep it interesting. But that we'll come back to that another time. I've also gone for Pearson. Yeah, it's a safe bet, as you say. General predictions then. My first one is that Kreese, who hasn't sat in the car yet. That we're aware of, anyway, at time of recording.
He said he might have had a shakedown this week, but that's the absolute most until he gets to FP1 rolling out on Saturday morning, which is a risk.
He's going to score points, though.
Sorry?
Kreese is going to score points.
Right. Just remember, points are scored down to 15. Yeah. We've got 24 drivers this season.
Might get fastest lap.
Could get fastest lap.
That's technically a point.
He could get pole position.
He could lead the race.
Who knows?
If it's wet.
Yes.
No, I think Kreese will get points. The car's good. The team's good. You know, Kreese isn't coming into this in some of the other guises he's come into in the past. He's going into a team that are
fully experienced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And are going to be able to give him the best chance possible to get points. It's not going to be lost on them either. He's only here for five rounds. They're going to want him to be doing as well as he can, as soon as he can. So, yeah, why not?
Although in his interview that we had with him, he did state that this weekend was going to be more of a test weekend to build for the other four rounds that he's going to be coming.
Of course, but there's no reason that test can't turn into
a point
at some point. And also, if he's testing, more chance you'll get the faster gap.
My first prediction, general prediction for the weekend, is Sutton to have three top six finishes.
He does this a lot.
Something that he did last season a hell of a lot, and at the start of the season, obviously took three podiums on the opening weekend. I don't think he'll have as much clarity as that this weekend, but I think three top sixes is within his grasp.
I can't wait for an overzealous move into Kranus.
Okay, shut up.
But knowing him, we'll probably fight back and get second anyway. I'm going for three different podiums as my second best. So last year, as I said, that race one and race two were the same. I'm going for each podium will be completely different.
Okay, yeah.
So we won't
completely
have...
Completely different.
You can have the same person on the podium, but not in the same position.
Right.
So Ingram might finish one, two, and three.
Yes.
But you won't get the same podium.
Yes.
Right, the weekend.
Position for position, driver for driver, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My second one, and this refers to qualifying on Saturday, BMW, all four of them...
All four.
...miss out on the Super 6, which is the final session of qualifying.
I can smell so. Are you cooking? This is...
Could be cooking.
Wow.
Just got this inkling, especially if we see a little bit of rain as well.
I mean, there's a chair next to me. I might have to sit down because when I saw that written down, I thought, oh, he means, I'm going to have to ask him, which BMW does he mean?
All four.
Wow.
We'll see.
Talking of BMW, I'm also going to go for it. I've not seen anything at this point. Okay. We're recording this well before the weekend. It's actually a Wednesday we record this on. I'm going that De Leon will have more sponsors on his car. Now, I'm not talking about little ones because I'm not going to bother to count those. I'm talking down that, down the side, down the side or across the bonnet. Or maybe across the rear, because those are the four places that are emptiest.
There big will, name.
There will be a sponsor, or there'll be something on that car to replace those big gaps. Even if it is Drive BMW or BMW Protect or WSR, there will be something on that car that is that wasn't there during media day.
Okay, and then my final prediction is like almost a twofold here. Cook to score a podium and also be the top independent scoring driver. The weekend.
Yeah, I like that.
I think if I'd have gone for just one of that two part, you'd have probably gone, that's a bit easy.
I'd let you have the podium. I would definitely not let you have this top score in India because he should be doing that every weekend.
Yes, he should.
Really, with all due respect to the other independent drivers. Okay, also, we do a general prediction, which is track specific. This weekend is my birthday.
It is.
And I
say
like
happy birthday to him in the comments. He likes it.
And I like rum. So we are going to see how much a double rum costs.
Importantly, it is a double.
Double rum at the circuit. Not so to buy because, look, I'm already, there's debts in the world and mortgages and whatnot. So, yeah, I won't have my financial advisor with me. But but in terms of, if we were to buy one of these double rums from a vendor at the circuit, and I've gone for £12.60, I think it will be £6.30 or something like that. I reckon it would be £6.30 a shot.
I've gone for £11 on the nose.
So you're thinking £5.50?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, yeah. I don't think they have a massive range of rums. So if they've got three, we'll go for the middle option.
Can I just put something out there that we may not have considered?
Yes.
What if they don't have any?
They always do. Well, if they don't, we'll go to whiskey.
Okay, that's fine.
If they don't do whiskey, then we'll just call it null and void.
Yep. Lovely.
Just on that prediction for you, the fans, the listeners, the watchers.
We want to hear from you.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a long time, that prediction. And we could all go, oh, how many corners will be cut? How many times, how long, how many laps of the bollard last? We do that every year. So this season...
Quite honestly, we've run out of ideas.
Pretty much. So this season, if you've got any track-specific suggestions for one of our predictions, let us know, either put it in the comment on our Facebook page, on a YouTube video, Instagram, message us, whatever. I will put something out about this nearer the time to Brands Hatch to remind your memories. But yeah, if you've got anything, get your thinking caps on because Brands Hatch Indy is next.
And say we'll mention it in the review as well.
Yeah.
We need an idea for Brands Hatch going forward. Obviously, we've got 2 weeks between the opening couple of rounds. So yeah, we'd love to hear your ideas between now and that round so we can actually use one of your ideas and it can be completely random.
Yeah, and it just saves us from going, oh, the bar's gone, and then arguing over how many cars have left Cop's Corner at Silverstone because that's fun every year.
And just to let you know, we are looking to go to the opening three rounds. So Donington this weekend, followed by Brands, followed by Snetterton. And then we've already booked tickets to go to Alton Park later in the year. So if you do see us there, like you did at Media Day as well, do come and see us and have a word. We always love talking to you about the racing and about anything else, really. We all have this common interest.
And all being well, I will have my stickers with me as well, if I remember. I did have my Media Day and completely forgot they're in my pocket. So that was good. But yeah, come up. Stickers are free. Come and have a chat. It was really nice talking to some of you at Media Day. And always humbling that we can be walking down the pit lane and somebody going, oh, you're the guys. Come have a chat.
Yeah.
Always open for a chat. And if you're going this weekend, look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah. Until then, stay safe.
It's going to be dry, by the way. We've not done the weather yet. It's going to be dry on Sunday.
It's going to be dry on Sunday, possibly wet for qualifying. But yeah, so bring all the weather gear because you never know what's going to happen. There's a little tips and tricks page on our PDF file that we've got for the season. It will take you through all the drivers and all the bits and pieces to watch. If you haven't got that already, it'll be on Facebook. I'll do the link this weekend. And it's all there for you to have a look through. But until then, stay safe, and we will see you at Donington.
Bye for now.